Deuteronomy chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. It's headed the Feast of the Tabernacles. Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you gather the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress. Be joyful at your feast, you, your sons and daughters, your men servants and maid servants, and the Levites, the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days celebrate the Feast of the Lord, your God, at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. 3 times a year all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. And the second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Its heading is Sowing Generously. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad the gifts to be to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confessions of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for your hearts will go out to you, their hearts will go out to you, because of the surpassing God given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen.
Many years ago, a young laddie had a job as a delivery boy for his local co-op. Not terribly unusual. He delivered mainly to a council housing scheme, but also had one street of big houses that ran down the middle. In the council houses, it was mainly pensioners he delivered to. In the big houses, it was mainly busy professionals. Come Christmas time, of course, there was the hope or expectation of a bit extra money as his customers would give him a tip. Without fail, it was the poor pensioner from the council estate that was more generous than the wealthy occupant of the private houses. It seemed to that young lad that those who had most took him for granted, and those who had least appreciated his service. It is very easy to take things for granted, especially when we have a lot. Most of us will have to confess that we have done so at one time or another. There are things in life that we simply do not appreciate, or often don't appreciate until they're missing. We only notice the wonder of our electrical supply when there's a power cut, and then we wonder how we're going to cope. In a normal, busy day, we seldom take time to appreciate the wonder of clean water coming from the tap. It was when I moved from home to university that I realised and appreciated what my mother did on a daily basis. I knew she did things, But like many young men, I did not tie that to food in the cupboard and clean clothes in the wardrobe. It was almost as though they appeared by magic. Do I take Karen for granted? Well, in all honesty, yes, sometimes I do. Does Karen take what I do for granted? At times I would expect so, although I suspect she's less guilty than I am. Most, if not all of us, when we think about it, know that we are very fortunate. We have a great deal to be grateful for, and we are grateful. It's just so easy to forget or to be too busy to notice. Sometimes what we need is the old-fashioned advice that we should count our blessings. I'm sure I can remember my granny saying something like that when, as most youngsters, I was bemoaning what I did not have. You know the phrase, everybody else has, and I was the only person who didn't. It is all too easy to get caught up in the materialism of our society. And part of our materialist society is the constant reminder of what we don't have. That advertising industry that constantly tells us what we should have, what we should be desiring, and how much better it is going to make us. Much of the advertising we see in the media projects a message that life would be so much better if we only had, and you can fit whatever product you like in there. Our thinking can be skewed, and that's for us, who are probably not the most materialist people in this society. As a wee boy, my mum, like all mothers of that time, would remind me of poor, starving children when I was reluctant to eat what was before me. This encouragement was very swiftly followed by instruction if encouragement did not work. Not finishing what was on your plate was not an option. Behind the encouragement was a reminder of how fortunate I was. I had food to eat when others didn't. The childish response was to think that those starving children were welcome to whatever I did not want to eat up, and it usually meant some kind of green vegetable. The failure to recognise our wealth is a childish response in adulthood. The most mature people I know are those who are very aware of what they have rather than what they lack. Quite often, these are folk who would not be regarded as wealthy in this society. They are simply people who see clearly and count their blessings. We who belong to God, by that very belonging, regard what we possess as the gift of God. Our Christian faith tells us that what we have is from God and belongs to God. We hold all such things in trust, and one day we will answer to God for our use of his gifts. This place of knowing that everything we have belongs to God, but that which we have responsibility for is what we call stewardship. Now, as soon as you say the word stewardship in a church setting, people immediately go, aye, he's talking about money again. And in truth, that is part of stewardship. But stewardship is far more than money or material possession. What is the greatest gift that we have? I would argue that it is time. If we read the gospel as a story rather than as individual passages, but just read through the story, one of the striking things is that Jesus had time for people. Even when he clearly needed time for himself, in his compassion, he gave that time to people around him. In all of our relationships, The most precious gift is time. The time we give to others is important. Having our time in balance is important. Many of us live busy lives and keeping things in balance is difficult. And we are aware of how difficult that balance is. In our giving of time, there is also what we do with that time. Sometimes I find myself spending more time at what I can't do than that which I can do. And maybe it's not a bad thing to try and improve, but sometimes I neglect what are my gifts in the pursuit of that which is not my gift. We all have gifts and talents. There can be a tendency to see the abilities and gifts of others as more valuable than our own. We can let our view of others diminish ourselves and believe that our place is not that important. The leader of the orchestra is likely to be a very talented musician. The person playing second violin might dream of being that talented. But for the orchestra, there is as much need for the second violin playing to the best of their ability than there is for the leader of the orchestra. And most importantly, there would be no orchestra without all the different parts. The church is built up of different parts. The Bible talks of different gifts being given to different people. The picture is of a spiritual temple being built of living stones. The fourth promise that is made when we join the church has to do with what we do with our time, our talent, and our money. And it's the stewardship question. What is really being asked is, what will we do with God's gifts as part of his church? To use God's gifts well, we have to take care and think things through. In the promise about giving, the question that is asked is about a fitting proportion. In my life, there have been times when I gave too little, but there have also been times when I gave too much. What the church does is resourced by our time, talent, and money. If we give too little, the church is impoverished. If we give too much, we impoverish other parts of our lives, and in doing so, diminish our service of God. It has to be a fitting proportion. It is also important that we remember that at the end of the promise about giving, it is not about us here. It actually talks about the church's work in the world. We are to remember that we belong to a far greater body than our own congregation. Our generosity goes beyond the bounds of this place. Now, in the main, it is likely to be our monetary giving rather than our time and talent that goes beyond the confines of the congregation. But not always. Sometimes we are called far beyond the bounds of this place. And we should also remember that what we do in our everyday lives is as much to do with church as what we do in a Sunday service or in a church meeting. And all of that said, we do have a specific responsibility for the church here in this place. The church is us. What the church does, it does through us. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Yes, dependent upon the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, but with God's gifts comes choice. As part of the church, we make choices. With the benefit of hindsight, there may be times when we recognize that we made a wrong choice. What we are doing now, we hope, with the benefit of hindsight, we'll find that our decisions will prove to be right and good for God's church. But we are human and we will not always get it right. But it strikes me that the one real wrong is in not making decisions. Where we give a little bit of time and thinking, or don't give time because we didn't think, where we don't give a thought as to how we might be useful to the church, and when we present our offering as a matter of course and without question, that is where we fail in stewardship. The question for me and for you is, am I giving the right amount of my time, talent and money to the church of Jesus Christ? Is what I do with God's gifts of time, talent and money honouring God? From our Old Testament reading, we have the command that we are to make an offering in proportion to the way God has blessed. From our New Testament reading, a reminder that our giving is not only to be generous, it's also to be joyful. And in our giving, we glorify God. Our giving of time, talent and money is a visible sign of our spiritual health. Has God blessed us? Of course he has. Give in proportion to that blessing. Is God generous toward us? Of course he is. Give with the same spirit of generosity to God. Does God rejoice in offering us life that is full to overflowing? That is at the very heart of the gospel message. So let us offer gifts to God with a joyful heart. Amen.